We're joined by the voice of the Wildcats now, Wyatt Thompson, here on Sports Daily, as we are every Monday on the program. Wyatt, first off, I tweeted it, I think, during the game on Saturday night that, you know, it just seems like weird things sometimes happen in Provo after dark. And it definitely seems like that was the case on Saturday night for the Wildcats.
That's well said. I don't know that I've ever seen a game in all of the years that I've done this change so rapidly in what seemed to be seconds. You know, you can go and say and be right that, hey, you got to score touchdowns there when K-State kicked the two field goals, and that's absolutely true. I think a couple of penalties really kind of kept BYU in it. And then when the fumble happens and they score, it's 10-6, and you're thinking, okay, this isn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but you can probably survive it. How will K-State look at that scenario? Will they be aggressive in the rest of the half and try to go score? Will they kind of just, okay, let's get to halftime. We're right where we need to be, down 10-6, and the next thing you know, you have an odd play and a pick and then a touchdown pass. And in a blink of an eye, it's 17-6, and they never really recovered. It kind of got worse as they went into the third quarter. And as Coach Kleiman told us after the game, hey, second half, really from the last 2 minutes of the first half through the rest of the game, they did nothing well. Offense, defense, special teams, absolutely nothing. Crazy, crazy wild thing.
Yeah, it was wild, Wyatt, that, you know, it was the first time in almost 5 years that the Wildcats did not score a touchdown in a game. And it certainly seemed like things just snowballed out of control. I think everybody thought that, you know, BYU would be competitive at home in that environment, and the fact that they were going into that game 3-0. I don't think a lot of people had paid close attention to BYU nationally at that point. I thought it would be competitive. I don't think anybody had the thought in their mind that it would end up the way that it did.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that they're better than they were a year ago. And sometimes that happens and you don't really see it. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you go back to the end of last year, they lost their last five. Jake Retzlaff, their quarterback, was the starter in four of those games. So you're going into this season with the perception that, same old Jake Retzlaff. But that's really not true. I'm not going to try to sit here and convince everybody that the guy's an All-American, but he's a lot better football player than I think most people understand. And he isn't just a game manager. He really creates some issues with the quarterback run. He can roll out and throw the football. They have just enough around him, I think, and they're just better. Then you throw into the mix there, too. I'm just being honest. Their defense is darn good. They're big. They're strong. They're physical. We talked about this last week that K-State was probably going to have some challenges, you know, attacking them. Now, with that said, K-State ran the ball enough and probably well enough to win the game. But, you know, The pass game wasn't good enough. The mistakes were clearly a big thing. And you look up and it's 38-9 and you shake your head and go, wow, this is nuts.
Well, you know, Wyatt, by the way, it's good to talk to you again. I always enjoy talking to you, Wyatt. It's always a lot of fun. But here's the observation. I'm just going to make a general observation, and you probably kind of touched on it in your own way already. But, you know, you look at the totals in this particular game, you know, K-State had twice the offense. Had twice the offensive yards of BYU and lost by the margin that they lost of. You know, the average person would look at the box score and say, well, if you didn't know what the score was, you'd look at the total yardage and you'd go, well, yeah. K-State probably won by two touchdowns would be my guess. It would be my guess if I didn't know better. Talk a little about how a team can be so productive on the offensive side of the ball, twice the yards of another team, and lose that game. There's got to be something that I'm not seeing. There's got to be something that I don't understand because this is so unusual. And it's not the fact they lost it by one or two or maybe in the last seconds of the game. They lost right. It decisively score-wise.
Well, a couple of things. and I think you said quite a bit there. There are some things that stick out to me. As an example, had I said to you Saturday afternoon at any time, K-State was going to have 72 plays and BYU would have 48, we both would have been jumping around the studio, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
100%.
That is right.
Yeah. Now, to combat the other way, if I'd have said to you BYU's going to score 21 points off turnovers,
oh,
the dancing goes away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it does.
I mean, it's as simple as that, at least for the most part. I sit here and I look at the numbers as an example. 72 plays for K-State, they average 5.1 yards per play. Okay? That's pretty good. They ran the ball for 228 yards, gave up only 92, 3.4 yards. But when you add those 21 points off turnovers, you add the catch that Roberts made right at the end of the half, which was terrific. There's just too much to overcome there, right? And then with this, I don't know about you guys. I'm just being honest with this. I don't know that I've ever seen a punt return touchdown quite like that one.
Yeah.
That was weird. There was poor pursuit angles, bad tackling. The guy muffed it and takes it to the house for 90. It was just, it just snowballed. Simply stated.
And, you know, there were some of those, of course, the punt return and like you mentioned, the turnovers that were just inexplicable, I think, you know, when you're watching that game and so unlike what we've seen from the Wildcats through the first 3 weeks of the season, especially when you contrast that with the way that the offense performed and executed just a week prior against Arizona, where they were the ones flexing on their opponent. The other side of it happened, the contrast of that happened against BYU over the weekend. You know, I think that watching the very end of that game and seeing the body language just overall, and Avery Johnson was one of them, but just overall, the word that it kept coming back to me was just kind of shell-shocked. You know, just shell-shocked that it snowballed to that point where the Wildcats, you know, lost by nearly 30 points after being favored by a touchdown on the road. In your mind, being around this program, what's the best way that Chris Klieman and the coaching staff can get this team to just sort of like wash the stink off from Saturday and move forward? Because they've got a top 25 matchup this weekend at home against Oklahoma State. So there's no time to sort of just like live in the crap that Saturday was. You've got to move on. You got to move on really quickly.
I think you said so much there, and it's totally right from my perspective. You know, how do you handle it, right? How do you handle it? I was thinking about that driving into work this morning. Here we are, favored by 7 on the road, hard place to play, all of that. Give BYU all the credit in the world.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, K-State just wasn't good enough. They weren't consistent enough. They settled for field goals when they should have probably had touchdowns. Think about if you get one touchdown there, okay, and the difference in that game, 10-0 as opposed to 6. I mean, just the whole thought process, the dynamics of it. But now you have a late game. We landed at 4:30 in the morning. So it's going to make sense that they're going to make us play at 11 o'clock this week, right?
Sure.
Yeah, right.
So, but that's, you know what the old sports cliche is? Excuses are for losers, right? You got to get ready to go. And this Oklahoma State team, remember a year ago when we went down there and they had just gotten beat by South Alabama and they were awful and blah, 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 blah. And I kept saying all week, don't buy into that now. They're going to be ready to go. I think they're going to be ready to go after losing at home to Utah, and I think K-State will be back up and ready to fight too. So there are 100 reasons why I think this is a monster game coming up this weekend, but that's part of the reason why. These teams have been consistent winners in this league and have for quite a while, and when they're challenged, they usually respond. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting both to do that again.
Right.
We'll see.
You know, I guess we got to bring this conversation around to Avery Johnson. Some might say he's not performing to where everybody thought he would be. I think he's probably on a journey of learning how to be a college quarterback. That's kind of what I would say at this point. I could be wrong. Where are you at with Avery Johnson? Where do you think he is in terms of his upside still? And he's not there yet on his learning curve, on the progression. Is he performing where you thought he would be at this point? What's your take on Avery Johnson, Wyatt, at this point?
perfectly good and fair question, right? I think all of us are asking, where is he really? And I think it would be fair to say, if you said that he's done a really pretty solid job so far, would he like a couple of throws back? Like as an example, let's go back to the throw late in the first half that Batty picked. I've looked at that thing 15 times, and I still can't figure out what they were trying to do or what he saw or didn't see or what have you. We've got Coach Kleiman later today. Maybe he can explain it, or Avery when he comes in too. But I guess I'm rambling a bit to say I was expecting some ups and downs, okay? The kid is uber talented, right? He handles most things as well as you can possibly do where you're at in the process of all of it. But you can't get by the fact that he still is gaining experience. And this was the first time, right? The first time in his life at this level that he's thrown two interceptions in a game. Kind of like what we said before with the team, how are they going to respond? I think Avery is really tough, tough-minded. And I think he's, to a degree, a perfectionist. And I think he probably was the first guy in the film room when we got back, if I'm being honest. He's going to be fine. But I do think that for all of us, you two, me, the entire fan base, the expectations were really, really high. And I get it. Off the charts talent. But you also have to have just a skosh of patience and let the guy grow into this. There's very few. Very few. Hey, Arch Manning, how many picks did he throw Saturday against Louisiana Monroe? Two.
Yeah.
It is right.
He did.
Yeah. Talking to Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats here on Sports Daily, you mentioned the word expectations, Wyatt, and let's start with Kansas State expectations as a whole for the season. And I also want to talk Big 12 here in just a moment, but for the Wildcats specifically, you know, it's the conference opener for Kansas State on the road. They now set 0-1 in the conference. Doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination that they're out of anything at this point. But when you do start your conference season 0-1, it makes that margin of error go down, you know, quite a bit. And so you're going to have to play, you know, pretty flawless football here moving forward in a Big 12 where it just looks like it's going to be a massacre and there are going to be teams beating up on each other week after week after week. So as far as expectations are concerned for the Wildcats, I would assume that really nothing changes even after the game on Saturday. Am I correct in assuming that?
Tommy, I think you're right on it. You can't let it change. You know, there's too much football to be played. K-State, this is astonishing to me, but it's true. In the history of the league, they've been on the road to start league play like 23 out of 29 times.
Wow.
And haven't really done all that well in some of those games. And if you think about the history of the league, okay, going back to 96, okay, I mean, they won the championship in 2003 and 2012 and in 2022. That's not all bad, right? There's a long way to go. It's easy for me to sit here and say, and I think it is true, that Utah winning in Stillwater with what they have remaining probably means that they are really going to be in the championship hunt, right? They won that game in Stillwater with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, what about everybody else? You could say Iowa State, right? They haven't necessarily had any issues yet. Will they? Probably. Everybody else, other than maybe BYU, but BYU's got a hard road too. You know, they still have to play at Utah and a lot of places. So, there have been people that have said that this Big 12 championship game could match teams with two conference losses. And I don't think that's I don't think that's saying it too wildly. You've got to take care of, go week to week and not get too far ahead of yourself here. We got a long way to go till late November.
Yeah, and following up on that, Wyatt, I mean, you know, obviously Oklahoma State falls at home. They were a team that, you know, I think a lot of people had expected they would be in the Big 12 championship hunt. They still could be, but they set 0-1 to start conference play. Same with Kansas State. In Lawrence, I mean, the sky is falling for the Jayhawks right now. So that was a team that people thought could contend for a Big 12 title. It's just been, it's been wild so far. And I guess that what I just keep coming back to, and I would love to get your take on this since you're close to the conference in general. This was supposed to be a year that with OU and Texas leaving the Big 12, that the crown was up for the taking in the Big 12. And it still could be. But you've got a newcomer now in Utah that looks, at least just through one conference game, poised to be the class of the conference. What does that say about Big 12 football in general when you've got, you know, the dominant powerhouses gone, but as, at least as of now, and I know it's early, but at least as of now, none of the existing conference teams have been able to raise their hand and say, you know what, we're going to go out, we're going to take it right now.
That's perfect. I mean, you're right on it. But we still have a long way to go.
Sure.
If that's an example, let's just for a second just throw this out. Let's say from here on out, K-State runs the table, and they're 11-1. Anybody going to really remember anything about the BYU game other than how bizarre it was for, you know, 6.5, 7 minutes? Probably not. Oklahoma State, think about the consistency in which they've operated over the 20 years that Mike Gundy's been there. And as I mentioned before, the world and the sky was falling when they lost to South Alabama last year at home. And they didn't just lose. They got smoked, right? They got pinched bad. Utah has made a statement. What I would say about everybody else is, and again, we're talking about KU, K-State, Iowa State, West Virginia, all of these teams that have been in the league trying to become that next, you know, next team that's the right at the top of the league. Is there going to be anybody that is, you know, you said Oklahoma and Texas, and I get it, but Oklahoma was the more dominant of the two. I don't know if I'm being honest, I think Texas is probably better than Oklahoma right now, right? But over the last decade, you'd have to say Oklahoma's been the better team. It's hard to get to that point with such a small sample size right now. But all of us are trying to get there, right? Because it is, you're right, it is there for the taking. 100% true.
One quick question, if you don't mind, and this has to do with Utah. Tommy brought up Utah. Tommy's right on this. I think Utah is going to be a power in this conference. Just a quick comment real quick. We're running out of time. But here's why I think Utah is going to be a factor. California football is going downhill with regards to colleges. You know, you got colleges going to play in the Big Ten. You know, who's a major college in where do you want to go if you're a California player and you want to play big-time football? Utah's right there. All of a sudden, California has always been open to Utah, but it's even opened up more now. It is fertile ground for a school like Utah. Is that why they may end up being as good as they're going to be? They could end up being unbelievably competitive in the recruiting wars in California. Wyatt, am I off on this?
No, I think that's legit, but I also have to be honest and say it isn't a given. I mean, if I'm being honest, Kyle Whittingham isn't going to be there over the next decade. Is he going to be there 2 more years, 3 more years, 5 more years? We don't know that. What we do know is as long as he's there, they're going to be good.
All right, fair enough.
Don't you think?
I do.
I mean, I don't think I'm being outrageous saying that. The guy is really good.
Yeah.
But Chris Kleiman's really good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mike Gundy's really good. I mean, there are some really good coaches in this league. And I know the sky is falling at KU. I get it. They're 1-3. Nobody saw that coming. But you know, they've got to be thinking over there that they can get this thing turned around, right? They got TCU this weekend. It's all about being consistent and being healthy. And I think with K-State, they've been a pretty consistent team. The other night, they were pretty consistent for the most part, other than about a 7-minute stretch. But they were not good from the last 2 minutes of the half through the end of the game. As we said in the beginning, they weren't good in any phase. And Tommy, you used the term shell-shocked. I think that's exactly what happened. You know, they were so solid defensively throughout most of the night, and you still get trucked. I don't know. I'm not saying it isn't a dent in the psyche of the team and from a confidence thing. And yet, to be honest, I really like the coaching. I really like the team leadership, and I expect them to bounce back. I just do.
Yeah, I mean, they can't let it snowball. They've got to shake it off. And that, I think that consistency, as you mentioned, Wyatt, will definitely come to play this weekend, because they've got probably a pretty pissed off Oklahoma State team coming to Manhattan.
Yeah, that's right.
Saturday morning, you know, and with another program that has their sights set on the Big 12 title. It's an early game, as you mentioned, 11 a.m. Wyatt at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. What do you guys have planned for the broadcast on Saturday morning?
Well, we're excited about being back home for one, but you know, we'll do the typical things. We'll visit with a couple of players. I'm not totally sure how or who that will be yet, but we'll visit with Coach Kleiman, the coordinators, and have a lot of features in that 2 hours leading up to breakfast with the Cats, as they say. I'm more into that now as opposed to those 9:30 starts, especially being on the road and having that again. It was really, I'm not trying to get anybody to feel sorry for me, but guys, I work at this on Sunday, some too, anywhere between 2 and 5 or 6 hours. I went right from the airport to the office.
Oh man.
Because I wanted to get it done and then be able to rest a little bit and then watch the Chiefs game.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
You do what you have to do, right?
You do. I mean, hey, it's better than digging ditches, as Jacob would always say. So, quick story. So, we went to the Royals game on Saturday, which is a totally other, you know, story. They've not played well recently at all. Right. We go to the Royals game. They moved the time up 2 hours because of the threat of bad weather coming in later that night. So all along, I thought, well, I'm going to miss the K-State game. I'm not going to be home in time. Well, the game started at 4:00. It was done by 6:30. By the time we got back to Wichita, I had plenty of time to stay up late and watch Kansas State. So schedule-wise, I guess that worked out. But I don't blame you at all for that late night and being a little bit tired and being glad that you're back at home. So, definitely. I'm sure that being back in Manhattan for this weekend is going to be pretty nice for you guys.
Dude, you fell asleep halfway through the second quarter, Tommy. Come on, be truthful.
True. I did.
Well, I didn't have that opportunity, nor did I want it.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I will say this. It was hard to lose that game, and especially the way they did it. But speaking of going to games, Tommy, if you ever have a chance to go out and see a game in Provo, you should.
Yeah.
It is a picturesque setting. Their people are really, really first rate. And I, you know, everybody's talking about Utah right now, and I get it. But they're going to be a player, too. This league is going to be tough, always.
Yep, it's no doubt about it.
Just what it is.
For sure. We're looking forward to Saturday morning as the Wildcats take on Oklahoma State. Of course, you can hear Wyatt and all the coverage right here on KFH. And hopefully we'll have a more positive discussion next Monday here on the program. Wyatt, we appreciate it as always.
Okay, can I say one more thing in about 15 seconds?
Yep, absolutely.
I just want you guys to know that Rhonda Kleiman was listening to KFH.
Good.
She was there to see her son play and was driving back to Manhattan. So she at least caught some of the KFH part of the broadcast. So thank you for being an affiliate.
For sure. We love that. There you go. We'll talk to you next week, Wyatt.
You got it, guys.
Have a great call on Saturday. Yep, there goes Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats.